Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Scott Brown. Are you, do I need to call you doctor or any of those?
You can just call me Scott. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, Scott. Well, welcome. You know, I was looking at some of the information, and your whole focal point is how the youth are leaving the church. Why are the youth leaving the church? And out of that has come a couple of items that I really want to talk about. First, maybe we should talk about, should we talk about your book first, or should we talk about your film first? Which came first, the book or the film?
They came about the same time, but they
okay.
I've been working on them for about 10 years, so that's the deal.
Okay,
the book
that he, it's, I'll describe it. I like to give word pictures. It's A Weed in the Church, and it's a picture of a dandelion that's been pulled out. And it says, how a culture of age segregation is destroying the younger generation, fragmenting the family, and dividing the church. This is such a powerful topic. How did you come to feel it so passionately that you would write a book and then do a film?
Right. I was an elder in a church, and I was seeing before my eyes the loss of a whole generation in our church. And so it was the pain of all that that really drove me back to Scripture. And so what happened was I began to see at least what the systemic problem was, and that is that we've abandoned the principles of Scripture for the discipleship of youth, and we've created a whole unbiblical format for the discipleship of youth. And what we do is we segregate youth into their ages. That's what we do. And but that's totally unbiblical. There's not a single example of that. Not a single godly leader ever did anything like that. And so why are we doing that?
You know how radical that is.
Well, yeah, the church is built on a whole foundation of age segregation. Every part of the church is tied to its age segregation.
Yeah, all the materials, all the Bible curriculum materials are all age.
Yeah, how about the building? The whole building is built to serve an age segregated format.
Mm-hmm.
The whole vision of the church, the whole staff mix of the church, the whole financial structure of the church is to serve an age-segregated world.
A weed in the church, what is that a metaphor for?
Well, a weed is it's a metaphor for an invasive foreign species that's entered the church.
Okay.
And what we're saying is age segregation is not a biblical concept. That when you look at all the gatherings of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, all of them, and I mean capital A-L-L, all of them are age integrated for worship, for instruction, for celebration. They're all age integrated. So why have we age segregated our churches? That's really the question.
Yes.
And where did we get that idea?
Yeah.
Where did the whole idea?
So did you figure out the answer to that question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did it come from?
Well, it came from pagan philosophers. I mean, and it's documented in the film and in the book. But I mean, Plato believed that children should be separated from their parents. Plato believed that children shouldn't even know their parents in a perfect society. So, you know, that's sort of the seed idea. But then you have educational revolutionaries like Jean-Jacques Rousseau and John Dewey. These are the proponents of age-segregated education. And, of course, you know, they picked up a Darwinian idea that children progress from, you know, from one segment to another. And hence is born the modern educational system that it's all age-segregated. So now we put the kindergartners, the first and second and third graders are all together. And it's a completely foreign methodology. But Scripture has a totally different methodology.
So you've come to this belief, and you've written a book about it, and then how were you led to do a documentary on it, and where would you find enough material to tell me about this documentary?
Right. So the
Divided. Let me say the title. Divided is Age-Segregated Ministry Multiplying or Dividing the Church. That's the title and subtitle of the documentary.
Right. Yeah, Divided. And so the name sort of tells the story. Mm-hmm. The church is divided. We're dividing the church. We are creating a sociology that doesn't exist in Scripture. And so we made a film, A Young Man on a Journey. This is actually a real person who's on a real journey. His father took him out of his youth group, and he's a filmmaker. And so he goes around the country and interviews people from all different perspectives of evangelicalism, and he ends up, you know, understanding what the biblical pattern for the discipleship of youth is. So he interviews people from, all stripes of youth ministry and things like that. So
he takes this young man out, and the young man does the interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
And when the circle is completed, does the young man go back to his youth group? Or do they come back and revolutionize their church's whole model for?
That's what they do.
Come back.
They end up, you know, worshiping in an age integrated fashion. So
what does an age integrated worship service look like?
Yeah, just like it was in Ephesus when Paul spoke to the children. He said, "Children, obey your parents," and the husbands, love your wives. Everybody was there. It was just like that. The babes in arms, just like it was in the time of Moses when the people were gathered together to hear the reading of the law. Same thing that happened when Nehemiah gathered the people together. The suckling babes were there. The wives and husbands were all there. The children were all there. So it's just like you see it everywhere in the Bible.
And you know, I am really trying to come to terms with this, because as an educator, we have been so steeped in age-appropriate,
right,
developmental education,
right,
that, you know, I'm going, how can a 3-year-old possibly get anything out of a worship service? How can the parents get anything out of a worship service with a 3-year-old? So
right,
do you have some kind of balance, or
how do they do that? I mean, let's just acknowledge that most of us that are alive today, we have this idea that a child can't learn anything unless he's with his peers and he's getting something peer level. Well, that's sort of a principle that the whole world has embraced. So we reject that principle. Why? Because you never see it in Scripture, ever. So, I mean, think about it this way. You have your 2-month-old child, and you're holding that child in the worship service. And what is that child experiencing? It's hearing the singing of his mother. He's hearing the sound of the preacher. He's hearing the prayers. He's hearing the sounds of the voices as they sing. So what is that child getting out of that worship service? The child's getting something. The mother's speaking into his ears. The child's getting something. Hey, children get something out of everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Would you rather have them, you know, sitting in a nursery with squalling children, or would you rather have them being mentored by a parent? So a child learns a little bit, you know, mm-hmm, when they're 1 year old, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. But they're in a worship experience, hearing preaching, and their parents are teaching them the words that the pastor is going to talk about. Oh, Susie, we are going to hear about justification. Let me tell you what it means to be justified. And then a parent can talk, and then he'll hear their pastor speak about it as well. So, hey, nobody gets everything out of what they experience.
That's right.
I mean, how much goes over your head when you hear a sermon? What did they say? I can't. What's the statistic? How much do you miss from oral communication?
Yes. You're lucky to get some. For some people, it's in the teens. The percents are like 10%.
Yeah. So let's don't pretend that everybody gets everything out of what they experience. Children don't. Neither do adults. But they get a little bit, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but we'll be right back. When we come back, I want to ask you about how you would manage the discipline in a worship service. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why didn't God destroy Satan?
For the same reason he doesn't destroy us, love. What? God loves Satan? Yup. But he absolutely hates what Satan does. But, you say, if God had destroyed him, all the pain and suffering in the world would never have happened. Let me ask you a question. If God knows your great-grandson or great-granddaughter is going to murder a neighbor, should he come down and destroy you right this minute so it won't happen? Wait a minute, you say. I don't want God to kill me off because of something a future relative is going to do. That's not fair. Exactly. If he'd destroyed Satan in Eden, the whole universe would have thought that was unfair because they didn't know about all the trouble he would cause. From then on, they would have served God out of fear. Satan's followers will ultimately be destroyed with him when they turn their backs on God's life-saving power. But this will happen only after everyone, including you and me, has a chance to freely choose which future we want, eternal life or eternal death. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace, Romans 6:14 NIV. I choose grace. How about you? If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm talking with Scott Brown, and we're talking about the age discrimination that is so prevalent in worship. In fact, you're actually leading me on a paradigm shift, because at some point I see families that are educating across the board. They have multi-age children that they're educating. So why couldn't that apply to a worship service? I don't see why it couldn't, but I think we need to change some of the things we do in our worship service. Like you were just talking about that long sermon where we get a small percentage. Would you change some of the components of the traditional worship service for a multi-age audience?
No, I mean, God has told us what we should do in the church.
They're all pagan, too. I mean, come on, we have to be. You already said it was pagan to have different ages, you know, all in different places of the church. Our worship service with the doxology and the sermon, those are all pagan, too.
Well, no.
See, from a biblical point of view, they did not worship that way, either.
Well, Scripture outlines what the people of God should do, and there's the preaching of the Word of God, there's the apostles' doctrine, there's singing, there's prayer, there's the reading of Scripture, there's the celebration of the Lord's Supper. These are things that God has commanded the church to do. So You know,
but you didn't say the sermon had to go for an hour.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, we don't know how long the sermon should go. So, but typically, yeah. In history, I mean, sermons typically, you know, last a half hour to an hour. I mean, that's probably as much as people can take generally.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the attention span where you have 1 minute per age. So a five-year-old has a five-minute attention span. A seven-year-old has a seven-minute attention span. So the preacher isn't going to worry about having their attention so much as the whole point is having the modeling of a mm-hmm. worshipful
right.
a worshipful experience
right.
for the parents and the family as a whole.
Yeah. And what's the alternative? I mean, the alternative is to create youth culture.
Yeah.
The alternative is to have three-year-olds mentoring three-year-olds. How smart is
yeah.
it to have 13-year-olds mentoring 13-year-olds? I mean, that's why the Bible has the older teaching the younger. That's why the Bible has, you know, spiritual fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers. The body of Christ is constructed as one body. There's the rich, the poor, the old, the young, the wise, the unwise, and they're all together. But when you segregate a congregation by age, you just get multiplied foolishness when you put a 13-year-old with a 13-year-old. And
yeah, I mean, this is radical. This is totally radical. I've gone to so many children's ministry conferences where they are working so hard to have engaging, entertaining
right.
children's ministry programs. Children's church is a big thing where they're developing curriculums so that the children
right.
never even have to go into church with their parents. And then you come along and you go, you know, hey, folks, this could be the problem why our youth, what is the statistics, 85% of our youth?
Yeah, who knows what this, it's high, whatever
yeah,
it is. So here's what we should do. Let's do what Moses did. Let's do what Nehemiah did. Let's do what Joel said to do. Let's do what Jesus did and said, let the children come to me. Let's do what the apostles did and speak to the children in the church. I mean, you know, the apostle Paul is speaking in an upper room in Troas, and there's a young man falls out Eutychus and dies on the ground. Why? Well,
yeah.
They were all together. It was a long preaching service.
To death.
Well, we don't know if he was bored to death, but he definitely fell asleep like you and I have probably fallen asleep from time to time.
Yeah.
But the point is, hey, the young people were there. They were not off in their youth group. Hey, there's really only one example of a youth group in all of Scripture. You know what it is?
Well, Daniel and his friends?
Well, I don't know if these were youth. I mean,
I don't know how old
that was,
they were, but
you know,
they're always held up as youth.
Yeah, they were captured and castrated and taken to a pagan land. That's what happened to them.
Yeah,
that's not the pattern for education. So, but no, it was the prophet Elisha, right?
Elisha,
the only youth group in the Bible were eaten by bears.
Well. Well, okay. Yeah, so the two youth groups we came up with didn't really. They weren't very famous or anything like that. Yes. Okay. Point well taken. We're talking with Scott Brown, and he believes that the problem with the great attrition of youth from our church is segregation in the church. And he's convincing me, and I hope he's convincing you as well, because this is a radical way of looking at providing for the whole church family. There are small churches that often feel inferior because they don't have some of these elaborate youth ministries, or they can't afford a youth pastor. And you're saying, you know, that's not really what counts.
Right. Right.
It's not really what counts.
And so and really, the bigger problem is that the church has rejected Scripture. Scripture is not enough for the church. The church wants to create something better than Scripture, something smarter than God. And so it's created something that's foreign to Scripture. Age segregation is foreign to Scripture. I don't think age segregation is the big problem in the church. I think the big problem in the church is that we've set aside Scripture for the sake of our traditions.
Yeah.
That's the big problem. And there are a lot of different things that happen as a result. I mean, you have an entertainment-driven church. You know, you have all kinds of things happening in church life that are totally foreign to Scripture. But age segregation is one of those things. It's destroying the younger generation, it's fragmenting the family, and it's dividing the church, and it's creating a culture that's contrary to the one body culture that God has obviously ordained in His Word.
Now, I had a recent guest say that adolescence was a myth. It really was a myth.
It was an invention by John Dewey, yeah.
Yes. So you're kind of going down that same path. Now I'll have to go out and throw out all my adolescent psychology books.
Right. Yeah, that would be really good. where did we get the idea that children need to have an experience in their own peer level? And Ruth, here's the reality. You can't get it from the Bible. You have to get that idea from somewhere else. And we've gotten an idea totally foreign to Scripture that was really promoted by pagan educational revolutionaries who were at war with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's who the John Deweys and the G. Stanley Halls and the Jean-Jacques Rousseaus were. These were God haters. Mm-hmm. We picked up their ideas and stuck them in the church. It was a big mistake.
Yes, progressivism. Well, we're talking with Scott Brown, who has written the book A Weed in the Church, and the weed is represented by the culture of segregating in churches by age. And then he went on to write to produce this film, and I only have a few minutes left. But in the listeners that I work with, to produce a film, are you a producer by trade? I need to know a little bit about how you felt to do such a thing as this.
But we felt that we needed to make a graphic representation of the principle and to collect lots of different perspectives. It's a documentary. It's a documentary on AIDS segregation and particularly youth ministry. And it provides biblical solutions, you know, to the problem. And it really answers the question, what does the Bible say about the discipleship of youth? Because there is lots in the Bible about youth, about ministry to youth. Lots. We're not throwing youth ministry out. We're saying, how is God ordained that we minister to the younger generation rather than inventing our own tradition?
Now, for our audience, are you available for speaking? How can they get a hold of this material?
Sure, they can watch the video free online on DividedTheMovie.com.
DivideTheMovie.com?
No, Divided.
DivideTheMovie.com. And that's only for a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. So they need to go to that website if they want to watch that.
Yeah.
And that would give them their own sense of what our discussion is trying to convey. And then to get your book, A Weed in the Church.
They can get it on Amazon. It's also an ebook. They can get it on Amazon as both an ebook and a hard book.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to contact me, go to ncfic.org.
And we will put all that in our blog as well. Thank you so much for being with us. It's a new paradigm shift for Christian congregations in general, and I think it can be such a blessing. We don't have time really to spend and put up and put out for the things that we think youth are requiring in worship when really they just need to be with us. Mm-hmm. And we just need to serve God together.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.